With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I sit down with Dainton of Dirty Sanchez. This is a great chat. I've met Dainton before. He came with Pritchard and guested on the Hardcore Listening podcast that I do with Chris Glasson. And so I knew it was going to be a good chat. First of all, I'd just like to do a thank you to Matt Stocks, podcaster from Life in the Stocks, also former guest of this podcast, for organising this and putting me back in touch with Dainton to make this episode happen. We talk all the usual stuff that we like to chat on this podcast, which is great records, but we also obviously talk about Dainton's creative journey, and there's a lot of talk of skateboarding, the importance of skateboarding and the community within skateboarding. So it's a great chat, this one. And as well as thanking Matt Stocks, just big shout out to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network, and thanks to 76 for producing this podcast. If this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track, then when you've finished listening to my chat with Dane, then go and have a look in the archives, because you can access chats I've had for free with Fatboy Slim, Tommy Lee of Motley Crue, Melanie Seard of Spice Girls, gosh, who else? Cancer Bats, Frank Carter, actors such as Maxine Peake, Amanda Abington, Joe Hartley, Michael Smiley, comedians like James Acaster, Ed Gamble, Jade Adams, and yeah, Maisie Adam, Les Stacks. Go and have a rummage, and I'm sure you'll find something that you will like to listen to for free. And if you'd like to support the podcast, I have a Patreon page, Patreon, Patreon. And over there, I put up plenty of content each week, radio shows, video episodes and such. And there's also a back catalogue of a couple of hundred episodes on there that have never been released to the general public. And so you can access all of that and get all that content each week for, I think it's about 71p a week, and it goes in the pot to kind of help with the production and stuff regarding this podcast, because fundamentally it's a labor of love, and it's an absolutely glorious labor of love. I love doing this. It's been something that's been a wonderful distraction and something really, really good to sort of maintain that connection with people during, you know, the 10, 11 months that we're currently in the thick of this lockdown. I guess you can, just touching on the Patreon once more and the back catalogue of normal stuff as well that you can get on Acast, Spotify and all your usual places. You can find out about all of this stuff at www.offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. Beat and, not beaten. Beatandtrackpodcast.com. I'll see you at the end. But in the meantime, this gives me great pleasure. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track Podcast with Dainton of Dirty Sanchez. It's Off the Beaten Track Podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin. Okay, we are recording. Joining me today via the means of Zoom. Hello, Dainton.
Hello, Stu. How you doing, man?
Not too bad, not too bad. So we've not seen each other for maybe... It popped up on my Facebook memories from 3 years ago when you and Pritch came out to this very room I'm sitting in there, and, yeah, turned up in my garden with Pritch and his dog, and recorded the Hardcore Listening podcast with our mutual friend Matt Stocks as well.
We did, yes. I think I remember it vividly because I had to come from the Dartford Tunnel. I didn't pay the fee or something, and then I got a fine for the post. I didn't pay the fine through the post, and then I ended up with like 180 quid fucking fine. But I do remember your place because you had a cool little setup out in the garden, your studio. So I was like, good spot.
Nice.
Great spot.
Nice. And did you just go to ROM that day?
No, we didn't go to ROM. No, we didn't. No. I haven't been to ROM enough, actually. I've been there, you know, back a long time ago, and it's fucking, yeah.
Have you seen the film?
ROM Boys. Do you know what? I still haven't seen it. Still haven't seen ROM Boys. Have you heard loads about it? I know it's on YouTube and iTunes, I think, to rent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you'll love it. It's great. Absolutely.
Is that
brilliant.
Your era? Do you know a bunch of those boys? Is that your
ends? Yeah. My mate Steve was heavily involved in that, and a guy that run the park as well was a pal of mine. And it was kind of my kind of prime years when all that was going on, so it was it was good times. Before we talk records and stuff, Dane, I'm just going to ask you really how you found the last 10 months, really, because it's been crazy times, and I just wonder how you've dealt with it, you know, personally, and how you've, you know, how it's affected you professionally.
Right. Now, and I tell you this, Stu, right? I'm known for not being the best of speakers, and I'm known for saying things that come out ass backwards and upside down.
Okay.
All right. So there's nothing, you know, but so I'll just say that before we go anywhere fucking further forward, because I'm known to live in my own bubble, yeah, and shut off everything and try and just focus on shit I'm into. So I've kind of done that with what's going on, because what can you do? Like, you know, what can you do? You've been told one thing, told the next thing, and then, like, you know, at the beginning you're like, fuck me, man, this is gnarly. Like, what the fuck's going on? Like, are we going to see people in the streets fucking, like, just fucking lying down and shit, just dead? And, you know, I who knows what to expect when, like, all this stuff happens, you know? I've selfishly just put myself in a bubble, turned the noise right down, and just focused on myself and my family and stuff close to home, really. Stuff that I've not neglected, but could have done with a bit more kind of focus, you know. And what else can you do? Like, what else can you fucking do, man?
Mate, I think that's pretty much what everyone's done. It's a case you can't really do anything, and all you can do is try and make the best of what you've got. And if, you know, if you're at home with your family, then I guess most of us are guilty that, you know, time spent with family is often, you know, taken for granted somewhat, and also, you know, everybody has busy lives, and maybe, you know, everybody don't make as much time for their families as they could. And I think these last 10 months has been that kind of point where you can sort of reflect and go, oh, do you know, I'm just, you know, I've now got to spend that time with my family. Don't get me wrong now. We're like 11 months in now, and like, fuck me, we're sick of each other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I can imagine. So do you know what, for me, selfishly, like, you know, like in my bubble, right, because I know that, you know, it's affecting me. My daughter lost her job. My wife works in a pharmacy. So she, you know, she's on the front line and dealing with all this stuff. So, you know, I've lost people, and we know people that has died, you know, so there's a bigger picture there. Right. But if I zoom into like what I've had to do is turn the noise off, and family's one thing. And I quit drinking last, like, you know, I know at the end of like last year, 2019, is it? Oh, fuck knows, whatever year we're in. I don't know. The beginning. Right. So because of that, I stopped drinking and I started like trying to get healthy. So, and look after my diet and stuff. So mentally I became like way more focused and like, all right, cool. Just got to switch this noise off on the outside, you know, kind of just get on with it. So personally, I've done really well. And I've learned to live with so little. I'm like not materialistic. I don't want anything. You know, I don't have a big house. I have a small house with small bills. I haven't got fucking big cars that fucking and finances, and I haven't got a lot of stuff. I've got really fucking small stuff. So financially, I've learned to live with such little that on a financial front, I've just, you know, just been getting through it. And on a kind of like mental front, I went out to the States right before lockdown in March, toured all over California. I went on a big skate trip with 40 Skate Co and went out and met a bunch of skaters and made some videos, and that kind of topped up my good times. And then I came home, it was boom, lockdown. So like, so I was okay for a part. And then I got away during COVID, mid COVID, I got away to Europe and did this rally, this kind of first COVID safe rally. And, we went, started in Amsterdam and went through France into and then like Switzerland, just a bunch of places in Europe. So, you know, kind of like somehow I've managed to do things safely, you know. Yeah. And I have kind of done a bit. You know. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm rambling.
You feel like that's kind of like kept you sort of topped up with that connection with other people then?
It has. It's kind of kept me topped up, and it's given me like a view of looking outside of my own front doorstep and seeing what's actually going on in different countries. Because I mean, if you're scared of the current situation and you listen to the news, and us, all you do is kind of listen to the news and think what's next and listen, and it's all this shit going on. There's so much fucking noise. It can fuck you up, and it can send you the wrong way, completely the fucking wrong way. So I've been around, I've looked at it. I've been back and forth London working. I've been all over the place working, and I've been in a bunch of places in Europe, and I've had a good look at it, and it's given me a good perspective on how we've been marketed at with all this information, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know the fuck to believe. I don't know what's going on, but I've got my thoughts on it, and I'm just kind of keeping myself to myself, and there's enough to do. I mean... I could lose myself in many programs that create software and just learn and read books and just listen to music.
But that's good though, man. That's what, you know, that's what I think, you know, getting creative in these times, you know, if you find that you've got the time to create and try the things that maybe you've not had time to do before, I think that's been like one of the really good things that's come from this shitty situation.
Yeah.
Turn the fucking news off, because that's going to fill you with fear. That's going to fill you with like misinformation as well. And yeah, that, we all know that there's a fucking awful thing going on, and we know what we've got to do. And
yeah.
But whilst we're doing that, we don't need to be staring at a news screen, just being fed fear, 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 because it's not going to make anyone feel any better. It's just going to, tip people over the edge.
It is, and it has. It is, you know. I mean, you know, many group chats I'm in, and I see. I get away from the noise by not listening to it. I'll have a little check and find out like what the restrictions are now, and like what you can do and what you can't do and stuff. And then you go in a WhatsApp group, your mates, and like a bunch of them are chatting about it. And I'm just like, oh, fuck me, man. You know, like I'm just muting WhatsApp groups and, you know, trying to stay away from that, yeah. From the noise. All you got to do is just fucking, if you can, is just turn that fucking noise down and be fucking wise about what's going on.
Yeah.
And just try and hold tight.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
And fucking focus on yourself. You know what? If you feel like shit and, you know, you feel like you've lost shape and you feel like, I don't know, man, you've been drinking too much and your fucking brain is cupped up. Now is the fucking time to pull your shit together, because you're never going to have this amount of time to focus on yourself and fucking move on from bullshit in your head than now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can either do that, or you can just bury your head in fucking booze, drugs and fucking bullshit and go deeper down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So I've just tried to go the other way. Always an optimist. My fucking glass is always fucking half full. Like, so, you know, anyway, I'm talking shit now. So I've had two coffees.
Well, let's talk record.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And then we'll pick back up on that in a bit. Dane, I always start with track one, which is the song with the greatest ever intro. What are you saying?
Right, now, I'm going to just have to go, because there's so much fucking amazing music out there, right? I'm just going to go to the, like, one of the songs that I kind of, that have got me into, say, like music. I got into music a little bit later, like, you know, than most kids. I lived in an estate and I was just a kid that ran around fucking knocking doors and fucking nicking people's milk. I lived in the valleys. I wasn't exposed to like a lot of stuff when I was younger. So I think the first time I listened to something, I was like, fuck man, this is savage, was like Battery by Metallica with that intro. Because it goes from like this kind of like acoustic intro into like fucking like, right, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
And for me, that like shift from like minor to major, minor, whichever way the fuck it is, it, you know, I love that shit. It just leads you in and then just fucking slaps you and off you go. So for that energy and like wolf in sheep's clothing, I love that intro.
Yeah.
So there you go. Something simple.
That's a great shout as well. Were Metallica like a big thing for you growing up?
Well, they were the first like kind of metal genre band like I kind of listened to, because a friend gave me I lived up in this place in the middle of nowhere, not a lot going on, and I'd moved from the town where I lived in, which was kind of still tiny, to like a smaller village again, and I kind of got into like electro hip-hop, you know all that before that.
So do you want me to ask, how old are you, Dane?
47.
Oh, you're the same age as me then. So so that would have been kind of like that electro thing, what, sort of like early to mid 80s, when you know breakdancing and graffiti and all of that all kind of exploded.
Yeah,
that felt exciting though, didn't it?
Oh fuck, so imagine, right, like I'd gone from, you know, my parents playing music, which was fucking fantastic, but like, you know, I wasn't really listening to it. I was a kid running around, probably had too much sugar, a bit ADHD, and I just didn't really listen. But when I fucking found, like, I don't know if it was like Dougie, well, we'll get onto it in a bit, like, but I got, when I heard like that electro by Street Sounds, the Crucial albums, I don't know, it switched something on my head, and I was like, whoa, what the fuck? And you know, you could break dance to it, you could move to it. It had scratching, beatboxing, it had like just rapping, it had everything. I'm so fresh and new. I was like, wow, what the fuck is this?
And how cool was the artwork?
Amazing. Like, so fucking good.
I remember walking past the record shop in my town, and they had all of the Street Sounds like albums in the window, like one to whatever it was at the time. And I remember just thinking, that's the coolest looking covers I've ever seen. You know, there was always like, I don't know if it sort of made its way to the valleys, but we had a copy of, did you ever see Subway Art, the graffiti like book?
And oh, like, shit, no, I didn't.
Mate, that was this one book that was like, because you couldn't go on the internet and see graffiti. You know, you couldn't go on the internet and watch breakdancing. You know, we had a bit of lino and we was all trying to do these really crap moves, like trying to do whatever we could, because there was such a thirst for what was going on with, you know, with electro and breakdancing and, you know, hip-hop and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And it was like, any little bit you could get, you just grab, because it was, he was starved of it, you know, it wasn't accessible.
Completely. So for me, I lived, I as a kid, I'd like fucking no pocket money and stuff, so I couldn't really buy anything. And a friend would, this guy, this one kid would come up to see his nan and granddad that lived like up the fucking, up the mountain and like near me. And he used to, he had money and he used to buy all the tapes. And I'd go around there when he'd come up on his like breaks, summer breaks and stuff, or like holidays. And he would have these tapes. And that was the only time I got to listen to it. But he would never even let me have the tape to record it. It was a bit, anyway, you know. So I would like, you know, completely like give him a knock. Can I listen to some of the new tunes? And can I have a go in your go-kart? But for, honestly, for me, I would listen to like hip hop or electro and that kind of vibe back then, and I was fucking so into it. And that was before I found skateboarding.
Yeah.
And kind of what happened for me in a small space of time, like I'd moved from the town. I was into like this little village I lived in, and I was into like, you know, the hip hop, break dancing, b boy stuff, going out with a ghetto blaster, doing burns with the boys and stuff, thinking I, you know, thinking I was like some, I don't know, in the Bronx or something, and I went from that up to the valleys, and everyone listened to thrash, everyone, right? And a friend gave me the Metallica tape, Master of Puppets, and I went, and I was into that. As I could not get enough of the Master of Puppets album, little Sony Walkman, free band graphic equalizer, bass up high, mid, high end up high, and the mid down a little bit to give it like a different, like deeper tone. And I would just crank that shit all day, and I found skateboarding right around the same time. So, you know, for me, I was like, fuck me, I was gifted all these kind of like amazing things, which are different cultures. And yeah, it was like, all right, fucking hell. I felt like I had a secret. I found something, and I was living up there, and I had all of it together. And yeah, totally saved my fucking ass.
Well, I'm going to pick up on discovering skateboarding, because something's happened recently in my house. I've just been, that's been amazing, that's come from skateboarding. So I kind of want to have that chat with you as well. But before we get on to that, I'm going to sort of stay in the formative years, Dane, and ask you for track two, the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you.
Right, I've got it written down here. So I'm going to say this, right? The first song actually had like, when you say emotional impact, do you mean like pulling out heartstrings or like...
It can be, or it can be joy, it can be anger, it can be anything.
Well, it was the first song I felt like one, you know, like taking crack was like Dougie Fresh and the Get Fresh crew, the human, you know, with the human beatbox.
Because
it was like all these different things I'd never really heard. And it was mainstream because it was on Top of the Pops and I could just see it on TV. It wasn't like, because we know there was no fucking internet, was there? Yeah. And like, I didn't have the luxury of buying magazines and stuff. So, you know, I think it was that one because it was fresh, it was new. It had all these different sounds in it, scratching, you know, it had Dougie Fresh beatboxing, it had everything. It was a fucking mad track. And if you listen to it now, you could say, oh, you know, whatever. But for me, that was like my first like real kind of like, fuck me, I need more of this shit.
Yeah.
Dougie Fresh and the Get Fresh crew, like, give me a break.
And it was like when you saw that on Top of the Pops, you know, at that point it was all, I guess, the tail end of all the new romantic stuff, and it was all quite sort of, you know, I guess, you know, metal wasn't really on Top of the Pops, and the fact that this huge new music was exploding, and some of these American artists would get brought over to the UK, and you'd get to see, you know, Dougie Fresh or Houdini or some of them things on Top of the Pops was fucking incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah, completely, and I think I got into it a little bit later. So, you know, when I started listening to it, I had to catch up with all the... Luckily, I could catch up, and it was like, boom, Beastie Boys, License to Ill. I remember getting the tape and looking at the artwork going, what the fuck is this? Like, what the fuck is this? This artwork on the cover.
Yeah.
And obviously, the music inside, it was like hip-hop, rock. It had, like, all genres on it. You know, Rick Rubin touched it, didn't he? Put his thing on it. What was the question again? I'm going off track.
I was just asking the first song that had an emotional impact on you. Yeah. And I mean, it's so weird. It doesn't matter who I speak to on this podcast. There's like 250 episodes now, Dane. And whatever background anyone's come from, at some point the words Beastie Boys get mentioned. Like, it's just people. The impact that band had is ridiculous. You know, like you, License to Ill was the one where that was my punk. That was the most punk thing I'd ever done. We was out robbing VW signs, and you know, and it was like that was it. That was the closest thing that you know our generation got to punk, I think. Like, completely. And it was quite so raucous, and you know, the press thought it was the most disgraceful thing ever that these three frat boys were coming over to the UK, you know, singing about Brass Monkey and girls and things like that. It was it was just incredible. I want to just sort of get back to you discovering skateboarding, because just recently, like my 15-year-old daughter's had a really rough time at school. It's been really, really, like, really struggled to kind of find friends, and as you know, we've had days where we're literally, you know, out of school, so I, you know, had to have lunch on my own again today, and it just, you know, just breaks your heart. You know, there's nothing you can do to make your kids friends for them.
Yeah.
And she got a deck, and it's changed her fucking life. Like, she's literally got her click now. She's found her tribe, and it's like, it's just like, it's a powerful little thing, mate. It really is.
See, that's amazing, man. That is the power of skateboarding, because I think I know what it is about skateboarding, but it's the community around it is just fucking the best. You know, it can be raucous, it can be this, it can be that, but it's the most accepting community. Like, I've kind of been lucky enough to be, you know, to be involved in, and to be a part of, because you can be the sickest skateboarder, or you could just be starting and just trying to learn to just push and turn. It doesn't matter. It's just like, you're just out with your mates talking nonsense, learning to skateboard, and it's outside your front door. You don't need loads of money to do it. It's, you know, my daughter's into horse riding, right? I tried to get her to skateboarding, but the council made me take my ramp down out in the garden so she could drop in when she was four. But anyway, but like with horse riding, there's lots of money. You need someone to take you to the farm. You want to do this. It's just, skateboarding, if you've got enough money to get yourself a skateboard, it's out the fucking door.
Yeah.
It's outside on the street, and there's people out there that just, I know, that's why I owe everything to skateboarding, personally. You know, for me, because, like, I learned about music, I learned about, just art, I learned about myself, just tons of stuff. So for your daughter, I mean, she doesn't need to be amazing to be accepted, because it's not about that. So that's really cool to hear. That's amazing.
And just saying, you know, it got you into music. For me, there was, you know, in the early 90s, there were so many bands that I discovered through skate videos. It was like, fucking, what's that tune? And you wait to the end to find out what that record was. And it was like, right, okay, let's go and find out some more about them. And I don't know if that was a thing for you as well. Like, it was just...
Again, so for me, I you know, I lived in a part of Wales where it was a small town. I moved up to a village type thing, just not many people there. And it was like finding another world through skateboard. And I found another, I was like, oh shit, this is really what's out there. So I was exposed to so much stuff and music. Like, I was like, oh shit, what's this? What's that? Like, you know, you couldn't search it. You could only listen to it on the VHS tapes that you were.
Yeah.
Playing before he went to school in the morning, and listening to and daydreaming about when he was in school, and listening to the music in your head and thinking about the tricks until he fucking got out of school and went skateboarding again. So yeah, exposed to so much music through skateboarding, and it's like, just most of my music, Stu, I gotta be honest, most of my music that I'm into comes from skateboarding, from skate videos. I discover most of my stuff through skateboard videos.
Yeah.
I did, at least anyway, at some point, you know.
Well, let's talk school for a moment, Dane. And for track three, the song reminds you of your time at school.
Well, it's got to be McGrath and Chuck Treese, Weakness.
Nice.
At the beginning of, it was the intro track to Public Domain with the Rubber Boys. So just on loop in my head, it was like the most fresh, progressive kind of like package with the skateboard and sound, and like it was all shot in black and white, like the video and the music that by Chuck and McRad, like, just fucking went together like nothing else did. So for me, it was that.
How did you find school?
Well, I didn't realize that I was dyslexic until about 3 or 4 years ago. So it makes, now thinking back, I understand why I found school so difficult. So and why I was like good at like, say, I don't know, fucking physical education, was it PE or whatever. So yeah. So for me, I sucked at school. Every time I went to school, I was like worried that I was going to get a bollocking from the teachers because I was shit at English. I was fucking terrible at maths. Loved art. I didn't really dig school, to be honest, but I did have a laugh. I did have a laugh outside of the classroom.
Yeah.
You
touched on art and that. Was the creative side of like the stuff you was into, was that encouraged?
No, not at all. No, the creative side just completely wasn't encouraged. Yeah. Hey, listen, when I went to primary school, I was that slow in primary school. I don't know if they could never get away with this shit now, but I was that slow in primary school that they kept me back in the first year of primary school for 2 years, right, for me to try and learn, right? So I was in primary school in year one, or I don't know what it would be called now, but year one in primary school from the infants. They kept me there for 2 years, and then I jumped from year one to year three. I missed year two, and I was really fucking confused, right? And then from I was gone. I was lost. I had no idea. I was just blagging it. I fucking cheat my spellings. I was just waiting to get out of school out of the school format of like learning. Again, in the fucking playground, fucking about with your mates. Great. Games, PE, no problem. Art, but the rest of it, I was just like, I felt like under pressure the whole time. And I just felt like something wasn't right, but I don't know. But there we go.
Did you have any idea what you wanted to do?
Not 100%, no. I think I wanted to do something with like special effects or something. Like, you know, I'd watch a film on TV, like a James Bond film or something, and it'd be like some mad fucking explosions. And like, I think I was like in my head, I wouldn't mind doing something like that. But I really didn't have any idea. I just wanted to go fucking skateboarding.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Did you think that any, you know, that there was opportunities within that?
In skateboarding, no, not at all. No, I mean, there was definitely no opportunities in skateboarding. It was just pure escapism for me.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
Obviously, you know, being the same age, I hadn't heard the word dyslexia until probably 10, 15 years ago. It certainly wasn't a word that I'd ever heard when I was at school, you know, and I don't think, you know, pupils or teachers probably even knew what that was at that point. So, you know, struggling with that and that obviously sort of hindering, you know, your learning experience. But then you also sort of said that you was enjoying the sort of the fun in the playground and stuff. So with them kind of, you know, different sides of the story, would you say you was a confident kid?
I was a chopsy kid. I was like a little chopsy bastard. But I wasn't like, oh, I'm the man, here I am, you know, yeah. Like I don't even know where I was, Stu. Yeah. I have no idea. I was just a kid that just ran around like fuck, like just trying to keep himself occupied, I suppose.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Until I found skateboarding. I know I go on about it, but yeah. It was breakdancing and skateboarding. Until that point, I was just like, I don't know, what are we doing? Like,
yeah.
Just go and chuck a brick through someone's window, knock the door, like, run away. I don't, you know, I used to live in an estate, so I used to occupy myself fucking around, like, you know, jumping over the garages and stuff, yeah. And I don't know, fucking down the river and just fucking climbing trees.
Yeah.
Don't know if I was a confident kid, though, Stu.
Well, track 4, Dane, I'm going to ask you the first song you remember buying from a record shop.
Right, so I'm going to go two now, right? So the first song I actually ever bought from a record shop was from, like, Woolworths. And I bought it for my stepdad at the time. I bought him an Eddie Grant Electric Avenue.
Nice.
Right? because I kind of like the like that riff in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't really know at the time because I think I was like, kind of that was the, underneath a little bit of that. There was like some sort of electro vibe. Well, obviously Electric Avenue. Yeah. Yeah. I bought that for my stepdad. But my first like record I bought from a real record shop was recommended to me by this guy in, it was called Apple Stump Records. Little independent record store in there. There was two of them in my area. And it was the Beastie Boys, Some Old Bullshit, Same Old Bullshit. So, yeah. And I got that back and I was like, huh? I thought this was going to be like license to Will. And it was fucking just flat out punk, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I was
like, yeah, that's a shock.
Yeah. But I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
You know? So it was a happy accident. I was expecting like more like, you know, License to Will.
Yeah.
And it was completely different. It was pre License to Will. So, yeah.
You mentioned something that, you know, electro and that was something completely different to what you was hearing at home. So just going back again to that point, was there always sort of music on at home growing up?
No, not really. Not that I can really remember. My dad was into Pink Floyd. And, you know, my dad was, as I say, Pink Floyd, you know, my dad was into all, you know, that kind of, you know, my dad's like into, you know, that kind of era music. I want to say that kind of era music. I'm trying not to sound like a dick, you know, because I don't know many big long words to string sentences together, Stu. yeah, not really. I wouldn't say no. I was never influenced by music from home. Yeah. But my mum listened to Brian Ferry and stuff like that. And there was some, you know, some cool shit that she would play. Bit of Cat Stevens, Genesis. My uncle would play a bit of Genesis and whatever. Oh, fucking hell, Ian Deary and the Blockheads. Come
wonderful.
On, man. That's me.
Essex Itty finest, mate.
So I was influenced. There we go.
At which point, before we get on to sort of clubbing and stuff for the next question, I just want to sort of talk about how the relationship with yourself and the other three lads from Sanchez, how that kind of started to sort of solidify itself, and then it becomes something where you think, wow, we've got something here, where can we go with this?
I think it was a friend of mine made a skate, I think it was because like a friend of mine, Matthew Ryan, that made skate videos, and we basically just wanted to, I wanted to help him make another skate video because he'd made the one and I wanted to get into it. And I was like, oh, let me help you make a skate video. I'll buy a video camera, blah, 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 blah. So we started making Pritchard versus Dayton with Pritchard and like a bunch of skateboarders throughout Wales and the UK. And it kind of really started solidifying around then, like accidentally, because me and Pritch were making the video, Pritchard versus Dayton, and then it just kind of through that, then that's what kind of shaped and molded it into kind of, that was like the blueprint for Dirty Sanchez, obviously. So, yeah, it was around like 1999, 2000.
And I mean, as a fan of skating and as a fan of the show, like it felt like, you know, from an outsider looking in, that show just fucking exploded, and all of a sudden, you know, you boys were everywhere, and I just wonder, you know, as you know, coming from like pretty humble backgrounds, like all of a sudden that kind of attention and interest and hype, like how did how did you cope with that?
Well, I kind of dealt with it in a few ways. So firstly, because of skateboarding and traveling and kind of like getting photos in the magazines and getting, you know, you get a bit of a name for yourself, you know, I was kind of used to like go to the skate park and kids are looking at you and then like, oh, blah, 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 you so-and-so, and then you sign things. And I kind of used to that little bit of like minor celebrity through skateboarding. Sure. Yeah, so that was, you know, I was kind of used to that. And then I'd made Pritchard versus Dayton, which was, it was fucking like, it was big in skate, in the British skate, in skate yeah. scene. It blew up. So I was kind of used to, like a little bit of that. And probably a bit of an egomaniac or something, because fucking being a mong when I don't know if I can say that word, but anyway, fuck, you know what I mean? Anyway, you know, kind of like, but when Sanchez kicked off, you know, fucking, it was like Sanchez mania. I kind of dealt with it in a way that I was like, well, just, it's probably not going to last long, so just enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a little victory for the skaters that, you know, we were like kind of like outcasted. You couldn't get into clubs, you know, because you just looked like fuck, like we did.
Yeah.
And it went from that to just the doors are blown open, and these people that weren't letting you into the clubs are dragging you in and filling you full of booze, and you're being like literally carried on top of people's hands. And like, I mean, Stuart was it was fucking mental, like the fucking sickest experience, like full on mental. And how did I deal with it? I don't know. I just kind of like just enjoyed it, I suppose. I just didn't think it would last for long, so I thought, fuck it, while it's you, I'm gonna fucking eat the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And I just completely like took advantage of the situations that it, the places it took me.
Yeah.
I fucking loved it. You know, I loved it. Don't be wrong. Like, you know, it can fuck with your head a little bit. But,
yeah.
But I loved it. It was fucking great fun.
Well, you touched on, you know, being a skate rat and not being allowed into clubs, to all of a sudden, you know, getting the red rope treatment and everything laid on for you. So for track five, I'm going to ask you the song that soundtracked your years clubbing.
All right, okay. So I didn't go mad clubbing. You know, I did go clubbing in the early days, like early 90s. I went to a bunch of raves, but I kind of missed out a big chunk of everything because I just got so into skate, and I didn't really kind of spend too much time in that party scene until quite a bit late, until Sanchez came around.
Yeah.
But the raves I did go to, I mean, it was like a bunch of, I suppose it was like that alternate, like early rave gritty, like, you know, that kind of yeah. aggressive, like whip to it. And I kind of love that tone. You know, they raved up, they got the masks on and stuff. They, you know, before their time, you know, fucking COVID, fucking masked up, alternate frequency, I think it was. I got that written down there anyway. Shame. So, it was probably a bit more that, a little less Prodigy, even though the Prodigy were fucking badass. It was a bit more get, a bit more raw.
Yeah.
Bit more alternate for me.
It was definitely more kind of abrasive than them kind of big, chunky synth sounds they were using. They were like...
Loved it.
Yeah.
Still love that fucking sound now.
But, I mean, could you see the sort of parallels with, you know, we touched on Electro earlier, and then obviously just the kind of escapism of and the punkness of skating and the culture around that. And did you see that existed within, you know, what was happening with rave culture?
I didn't because I lived in my own bubble, Stu, like I said at the beginning. I fucking completely see all the parallels between everything now, between yeah. like music, skateboarding, art. You know, it's fucking all the same thing to me. It's all the same thing.
Do you think that just comes with age?
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, especially like if you know, he was gifted the kind of like shape my mind is in. It definitely comes of age. That you kind of realize like, oh yeah, shit, this is all connected. Because, you know, I was just too busy having a fucking good time rather than thinking about how it all worked.
Yeah, and you said that you've been, you've given up drinking a sort of year and a half ago. Has that kind of, you know, helped you to see lots of things sort of differently as well?
Completely. Yeah, yeah, myself. I'm a fucking idiot, like, Joe. I mean, it's made me a lot more thoughtful. I think about it's kind of having, it's kind of made me think about things in a way that I'm like, I kind of like, I've had to distance myself from a lot of stuff, noise, kind of people, like, you know, just kind of like, yeah, with drinking it kind of really is. I think it's been nothing but positive. I think it's the most positive thing I've done since I started skateboarding.
That's incredible. Right. Fair play, mate.
But listen, Stu, I'll tell you this, right? It's not just the alcohol that does it. It's the fucking sugar in the alcohol, right? If you've got the way I work is if you pour sugar into me, right, my brain goes so fucking quick. It's like a bouncy ball. It's bouncing around inside my head. There's tons of ideas. And I'm like, brrr. So what it did, I stopped drinking. And then obviously the sugars, I'm not drinking so much sugar. So my thoughts can slow down. It enables me to see things more clearly and make better fucking choices.
So just kind of like, aside from the booze, have you kind of cut a lot of sugar out of your diet as well then?
Yeah.
And have you found that that's kind of, that kind of racing thought process has slowed and given you space to kind of, you know?
Completely. Sugar causes a lot. I don't think a lot of people know what sugar does to you. And I'm fucking telling you this. It causes a lot of depression and anxiety because you shouldn't have this much fucking sugar in your body.
Yeah.
Right? So when you're boozing, when you're boozing and you're getting fucked up, you wake up the next day and you have the beer fear. Well, that's just fucking anxiety driven by fucking all the sugar that your body's just been fucking dumped into. And what it did is slowed the way I thought down. And so it wasn't just the alcohol, it was the sugar with it, because I stopped drinking, but then I kept on eating like shit food. And I was like, 6 months into not drinking, I was like, fuck, I should be feeling better than this, like for 6 months off drinking. And I was like, sugar. So I whipped the sugar right down. Right. And then I started noticing a fucking even bigger difference. So those two together, along with like 30 minutes of stretching in the morning, you know, just breathing and stretching. So
You look good, man. You look healthy.
I'm still mad as fuck, Stu, but I'm fucking, you know, I had to make a decision. I was like, if I don't stop now, right, you can, and I just kind of like give in to like, yeah, fuck it, this is happening, have a drink, fuck it. I could have like, but I listened to myself and go, right, in 10 years' time, do you want to regret not fucking stopping now? Because I was getting fatter, like more unhealthy, my joints were getting stiffer, you know, my back was fucked. I had to lose a bunch of weight to start getting my mobility back, because obviously I fucking love skateboarding and everything was suffering, so it had to fucking go. And it's made my life immeasurably better.
Oh, that's great to hear, man. That's incredible.
So, I'm not fucking preaching. I'm not preaching because I'm 47. I've had my time. I've been to the parties. I've done it. I've done a lot of fucking mad shit.
Yeah, but so, it's you know, 47. It's I guess, you know, being the same age. Don't like you get reflective, you start to, like, it's impossible not to start assessing things, and you know, I mean exactly, you know, probably, you know, I find myself having these kind of conversations with myself, especially at the beginning of lockdown. It was like I went into like fucking holiday mode. I was like, oh, well, I can have a drink tonight, like I ain't gonna get up tomorrow. And like, and before I knew it, I thought I've drunk every night for like a month, and I was like, well, I gotta stop this. And like and just trying to kind of, the sugar's the one. I know you're completely right, but yeah, it's they're all of these things. I try and run every day, and like, and when I'm having a little run, I just kind of trying to assess, like, and just take stock of things. And I think lockdown's giving you that time to be reflective, and you know, and like you say, you know, as much as you say you've got a little bubble, that's important. That, you know, we all know that there's terrible fucking things going on, but you should have a take stock of yourself, and especially as you're reaching, you know, your mid to late 40s, it's like, right, okay, well, I ain't fucking 21 anymore, and I know I still think I am, but it's like, well, I can't do that anymore, because like you say, in 10 years time, it's so important what you just said then. In 10 years time, do you want to look back and think, fuck, I should have done something about that then, like, you know, because time fucking flies, man. It's like, and some of the things that this podcast, it's like, it's so weird, like talking to people about their life and kind of sort of putting dates to records. And it's scary that I think, oh yeah, that come out like, I don't know, about 12 years ago. And it's like, that come out 30 years ago. And you think, shit. <Yeah. laughs>
It's fucking, yeah, completely. So I think, I mean, the way I look at it is like, what's the fucking harm to just say, oh, I'm gonna just devote 1 year of fucking concentrating and not being a fuck up. You know, what are you gonna lose?
Yeah.
What are you gonna fucking lose? So for me, if I'd have kept drinking and then lockdown started, you know, and then I'm having all these stupid fucking ideas in my head and I'm getting boozed up and I'm like, la 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 la, and I'm watching the fucking news and I'm just driving myself even more fucking mad. Well, I don't know how I'd feel today, and the conversation you would have with me would be a fucking different conversation.
Yeah.
But I just did it, and it's fucking worked for me. But I needed to do it, you know. I needed to fucking do it. I needed to look at myself, and it's easy to do it with a clear fucking head. So yeah. Here we are. Over a year down with no booze in my fucking body.
That's great, man.
The sugar though. Your sugar had to fucking go with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm talking about this shit too much now, but yes.
Well, let's take you back home for track six, Dane, and a favourite song from an artist from your home county, please.
From Wales, or home county.
Well, Wales is cool. We can go country. Everyone says country.
Well, if I say, yeah, okay. That's my dyslexia. I thought it was a country.
No, 80% of the guests have gone, oh, right, country, not county. Like, so, yeah. Don't worry, you're not alone there.
Okay, well, I don't want to go down. Shit, okay, you got me there now. I mean, I fucking absolutely love fucking Skinred, you know, because of the energy and Benji. So I would say Skinred, the track artist, yeah, and the song Bruises by Skinred from one of their early albums. I think it was their first Skinred album.
Yeah.
It's got everything in it. It's got like, up, down, fucking Benji's in there. It's got flow, it's got rhythm, it's got energy. It's all about the energy for me. Yeah. And it just gives you breathers, and you can just fucking light shit up with it.
And he's a dude, right?
Benji's a man. He's such a fucking character. And he's, if you know that guy's story, it's a sick story, you know? He's done really fucking well. And yeah, I fucking love Benji. And it's not because I know him, I'm not picking it because I know Benji. But it's just because it's the energy from those guys bring and Benji's voice. So I could have said fucking Shirley Bassey, I could have said Goldfinger,
That's a tune, mate.
Yeah, because I'm fucking a bit of a cinematic fucking music freak as well. Like, I love those tones.
Have you heard Bassey do Light My Fire?
No, I've not, no.
Oh, don't give that really? A listen. It's fucking huge. It's so grand. It's like, it's got these massive orchestral stabs, and it's like, oh, it's massive. It sounds like fucking Portishead times 10. It's mental. It's so really? Good. Yeah, and it's got proper groove as well.
I'm all, when we finish this, I'm straight on to that shit. Yeah. Let me tell you.
Yeah, you'll love it, mate. You'll love it.
Thanks for the hookup.
Okay, so for the last track, I'm going to ask you to recommend a song that you think a lot of people might not know. That you'd want them to check out.
So I'm going to pick a band called And Yet It Moves. Right? Sorry, I could fucking get my words together. It's a track called Ketamine Mama by And Yet It Moves. Okay, it's 11 minutes long. Right? Dale Barkley was the front man of the band. He passed away about 2.5 years ago. Rest in peace, Dale. My friend did the music video for it, and it's fucking, everyone needs to fucking listen to it.
What can people expect from it? What sort of thing is it, Dane?
I don't think they're going to expect, what can they expect from it? A fucking journey. I mean, like, just literally, it's just energy, fucking, this is the problem. I can't fucking speak properly, so I'm just going, I don't know, it's not many, that, Ketamine Mama is a fucking powerful piece of music by those guys. And I just say, if you can, it's not on Spotify. I think it's on YouTube. So get it off YouTube. It's link them to the video. And trust me, if you are fucking into music, listen to that track.
We put a playlist together. With all the tracks that we've spoke about today, so people can go and check them all out. And I'll ensure that I put the YouTube link into the bio as well, so people can go and check that out. Mm. Dane, as we sort of find ourselves, entering a new year, we're recording this at the tail end of January. And I guess we're all hoping that this year will start to sort of unfold with a lot more sort of positivity and freedom and opportunities to, reconnect with each other physically,
Yeah.
And uh, be able to hug your pals and stuff. What are you looking forward to, you know, hopefully coming from this year personally, and what's coming up professionally?
I mean, I'm looking forward to like just booting the fucking doors off a fucking off the local like music venue and just running through screaming my fucking head off my mates, going, fucking come on! Just fucking with the music pumping out and just energy and people fucking just moving and just fucking celebrating. I cannot fucking wait for that.
It's going to be twofold though. I think like the bands are going to be so desperate to just play their fucking hearts out, and the what the crowd give back is going to be like something these bands have never experienced before. I think it's just going to be incredible.
Oh man, it's gonna be a fucking moment. I'm telling you, it's gonna be a moment, and I can't wait for that to come back. And if it's in 6 months, if it's in 12 months, if it's in fucking 18 months, if it's in fucking 2 years, when it comes back, it's fucking game on. So I just can't wait for that. And then the other part of the question is we've had since lockdown and having a bit more time to like kind of do things. Myself and the boys and Matt Stocks got together and we produced the Sanchez Stories. It was in two volumes. So it's like a hybrid podcast hosted by Matt Stocks, who's, you know, like one of the best fucking interviewers I've ever had the pleasure to. Yeah, he knows his shit. And, you know, he's into all the right things. So he's asking all the right fucking questions, isn't he? You know? And he likes hearing the fucking bad shit. So there's no, you know, there's no stone unturned with Matt. So we did this two-part hybrid podcast, which is available for download. Part one's out now, and it's on dirtysanchez.co.uk. And part two is out mid-February. So we put that together, like, for the fans, because obviously when MTV pulled the plug, they just pulled the plug. You know, there's no, like, last show to say, like, oh, look, it's coming to an end, because we did six seasons in a movie.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to be able to finally get the domain, because I got the domain because MTV let the domain lapse, and I went in and bought dirtysanchez.co.uk because obviously we are Dirty Sanchez, even though they trademarked it, and Joycey came up with the name, getting that in it because I'm a little kid. And, do you know what I mean? So it's a little personal win. So we put in content on our own website, and I'm looking forward to putting part two out. And part one was fucking great. It was like group therapy. Almost. Yeah. First time on camera in a room together in just over 10 years.
And did you feel like, you know, the fact that when you said like MTV pulled the plug and that was kind of, you know, it, doing this with the four of yous, does it feel like there's an element of like kind of closure there that you can sort of, you know, tell the stories you want it told?
Completely, because it was fucking rude to just, you know, when we started Sanchez, we didn't think about a fan base. It wasn't a fucking business strategy. We weren't put together by someone. You know, we didn't try and get to the place where we got to on purpose. It was like made a skate video, it blew up, and then we ended up being on this fucking TV show in 69 countries around the world. So when they pulled the plug and it was like, not even like, it's no more Sanchez, it just felt like being able to like have control and put something back out there for the fans, and even if it's just in the format it is, and to be able to tell the story. It feels really good to be able to do that, and we have done it. And so yeah, I'm pretty fucking stoked. And it's just I mean, even if we're not doing anything and we're not like fucking stapling each other's dicks to tables, or like, you know, Pancho's having a lipo, like a fucking liposuction fat fucking drinking contest or whatever, in that room, the way we work together, it's just we're just fucking bastards to each other, aren't we? And it's just good fun, good banter, good friends, and the most fucking mental, epic, incredible times. So, you know, we've got this little hybrid podcast out, and it's been great to be able to put it out there.
And people can go and get that at dirtysanchez.co.uk.
Yeah, dirtysanchez.co.uk. That's on it. There's not much on it at the moment, but obviously I've got like so much footage that I shot a lot of the stuff that MTV used in the show. So like over the course of time, I'm going to be just putting stuff up there on the website. for free. The two podcasts that you know you can rent and, or download it at the moment. So, but yeah, it's just a great platform to finally have a bit of control and put it back out there, because it sucks, doesn't it, that you're just like shut down.
Yeah.
You're shut down with no explanation. It just, from our standpoint, we grew up, there was a fan base there that loved the show, and a lot of people say that it was funny to help them through bad times. It just, you know, was a pure form of escapism, just a bunch of boys being dickheads and kind of relatable, I suppose, because we weren't groomed fucking celebrities or like people that were just polished into this place. Totally relatable, on the level, just a bunch of guys that want to fuck about. And yeah, that's what it kind of still is, really.
And it's the joy. It was the joy of laughter, because yous were laughing, and as much as people were laughing at the fucking crazy shit you were doing, people were laughing at yous laughing. Do you know what I mean? Because like it was so fucking funny hearing yous like pissing your pants. It's just infectious, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's what we need, more fucking laughter.
Absolutely.
More laughter. That's the kind of noise we want, man. That's the only fucking noise, isn't it, you know?
Totally.
So,
Dane, it's been an absolute pleasure today, mate. Thanks loads for your time, man.
Man, thanks for having this this Valley Boy on the show. I'm stoked to share some like little insights on the past and the present and the future.
Lovely. Thanks loads,
man. I'm making it all up as I go along, man. No idea what's going to come out with that next, but thanks for having me on, dude, all right?
Oh, my absolute pleasure. There you go. There's something special about that skateboarding mindset and community. It's I love it. And you know, I've often spoke about the community, you know, within podcasting and other podcasters, and that kind of mutual respect and understanding, and never more defined than with that skateboard community. It's a wonderful thing. And thanks loads to Dane for giving up his time and having a chat with me. I hope you've got as much pleasure out of listening as I did having that chat. Once again, thanks to Matt Stocks from Life in the Stocks podcast for reconnecting us and helping facilitate this recording. I'm back next time. In the meantime, why not go and have a rummage in the archives? There's 250 episodes to be enjoyed for free. So go and get stuck in and enjoy them. I'm on all the socials. So if you do see Off the Beaten Track on there, then yeah, please give us a like, love, share, retweet, you know, all the usual gubbins. On iTunes, if you listen, please subscribe. That really helps. And if you want to leave a comment, that's even better. It all helps to kind of get the word out there. Other than that, just go and knock on your neighbour's doors and go, Off the Beaten Track podcast, stick it on. It'll change your life. All right, well, look, I'm back next time. Thanks ever so much for listening. And yeah, take care. See you soon. Bye-bye. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing. www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out, because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year, and they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music. And they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands, alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out, because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast, and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15. BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk. Official sponsors of Off the Beaten Track podcast. It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.